and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. You've read the headlines on biznews.com, watched the interviews on BizNews TV, and caught up on the BizNews briefing. So now let's talk about what the latest developments mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. Today is Friday, the 5th of December, 2025. Glad to have you with me. It's taken a little while, but we have managed to get two interviews in the can with two of the most important American companies who've reaffirmed their commitment to South Africa. That's the CEO, the local CEO for Sub-Saharan Africa of Amazon, who I spoke to this morning. His name is Robert Kuhn. And then earlier in the week, I think you might have caught the Driss Doga interview. He is the head of Walmart in South Africa, sent here 2.5 years ago. The interesting part about Amazon is they've been in South Africa for something like 20 years. And it was interesting to hear from Robert that a lot of the code for Amazon Web Services was actually written in Cape Town in the early days. So Amazon's big profit driver has got quite a lot to thank the mother city for. Isn't that interesting? Just a little bit of business history. What has come through to me in those two discussions, and indeed in a lot of the work that I've done in running my own businesses, remember I've pretty much been doing that for a quarter of a century now, first of all with MoneyWeb and now with BizNews, has been the obsession for the customer. Often when I bump into people or interact with other people from my industry, I get a little bit surprised at the hostility that is shown towards others in the media space. It's almost like I'm regarded as the enemy when, in fact, it's got nothing to do with who's your enemy or who's your friend, but it's got everything to do with how you serve your customer. And so as a consequence, what has happened is when people ask me about this and they say, oh, are you worried about News 24? Or are you concerned about Daily Maverick? I give them two answers to it. The one is that as long as we focus on our customers and we make sure that our tribe is happy and that we are providing innovative new products and that the numbers that we can see are growing, then we're doing the right thing. But what they're up to and what other people in our space have decided to do and whatever strategy they adopt is irrelevant to that figure, that focus that one should have. And I'm really delighted to get to speak to those two representatives of those massive American companies and find that that's the way. It's the Walmart way. It certainly is the Amazon way. I've read a lot of Bezos's work, including the way that he goes into meetings. Interesting. If you want to get something done at Amazon, you have to first write out a six-pager and then circulate that to the people in the meeting who are going to be in the meeting and the decision makers. But it has to be on paper. It's not a And then you go into the conversation, into the meeting and decide on it afterwards. It's not one of those things where you arrive at a meeting and maybe the guy with the loudest voice has a good idea and then off you go and do it. Mm-mm. It's a very different way of approaching business. Amazon talks, or Bezos talks, about day one, and that every single new day is day one. So think like a startup, like it's your very first day in business. And to some extent, we have tried our best at BizNews to replicate all of that as well. But the real focus, the real support for all of this came through in those two conversations. Because when I took it to with Driss Doga of Walmart, when I took it to competitors, because there's a lot of that kind of drama conversation that's going on. What about 60-60? And you've now launch something to target them, and checkers are so strong, and then will you be buying Pick and Pay? Is ShopRite your target? Is Woolworths your target? And he was very uncomfortable with that line of questioning. Initially, I thought it might be because he was told, well, they can't really disclose competitive information. But after a while, it kind of clicked that is just outside their realm of the way they do business. They don't look at Walmart anyway. They don't look at what competitors are doing. Their idea, and he talks about this thing called everyday low prices, EDLP. That's the thing that gets their people up in the morning. And as a result, they go against everything in retailing in South Africa, which is driven by advertising in the Sunday Times, well, I suppose not so much anymore, but or in the free sheets of Caxton, and I suppose not so much anymore either. But telling your customers about the specials, and so they'll come into your store because you've got specials, and then you try and con them into buying the high-margin products. I mean, there's something a little bit wrong in all of that, I think. But I guess I had a friend once who owned a vegetable store, would you believe? Well, fruit and vegetable store in Southgate. And he said to me, he was a really good trader, he said to me that the best shoppers were from the Indian community. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he hates them because they come in and they only buy the lost leaders. But everybody else seems to come in, they'll buy the lost leader and then buy something else as well. So you actually make money out of them. And I get this sense that in the South African retailing environment, it's a similar thing, excepting we're not all Indians. We're not all people with that culture of looking for a good deal. We would go in for the one deal and buy lots of things. And that's really where the Walmart local chief operating officer says that they're going to win in the long term, because they say that's how Walmart won in the United States. Now, speaking to Robert Kuhn today, from Amazon, it was exactly the same thing. I didn't even go there to say, well, what about Takealot or Temu and the Chinese? Because I got the sense that this was going to be going up the wrong garden path. So we spoke instead about the obsession for customers and how they measure it and how they've been doing very well, by the way. He says they knocked it out the park. In the year or so that Amazon has been here. And he also says that they have free delivery at the moment. And he meant, I suppose it is for a period of time, you can get anything from Amazon anywhere in the country. I said, yeah, really? He said, yes, we will deliver a Coke pen to someone in deep rural KZN. When I asked him how they can justify that, because I know that there's a similar strategy all around the world. I remember Jeanette buying a whiteboard marker when we were living in the UK for those 3 years, and having it delivered the next day, and it cost £1.50 or something, and it had somehow come from a warehouse, been delivered to us. And he didn't really go into much detail on that. And I suppose you can understand that. He said, that's our secret sauce. That's what we're about. We have our secrets. We don't tell our secrets. That secret sauce, certainly not to the great world on podcasts like this. So it was really interesting, really interesting. We're only going to be publishing that on Monday. It'll be packaged for our BizNews briefing, which I hope you're watching. It's on ENCA, half past seven, Monday to Thursday. I'm so proud of it. We started off... we did 2 weeks of preparatory shows, and during that time we learned a lot. And in the first week, I got the feeling that the program had improved like 50%, and I think it's improved further. I'm really happy with it now. I've been in this game a long time, so I don't need to tell you that I'm happy with something if it isn't really doing well. But yeah, please make a date to go onto ENCA, Hopper 7, Monday to Thursday, and you'll see my, I say smiling face, I can't say pretty face, but I'll be there giving you the latest news, and it really is something that I'm proud of and happy to be doing. So next week's our last week as well until we take a break until mid-January. And that's the same here at BizNews too. You know, we also need to go on holiday. And so I'll be knocking off next Friday and really trying not to be working, trying to get the rest and the R&R that everybody needs. And it's been a long year. It's been a good year. It's been an exciting year. And I just love what I do. So I probably won't be able to stay away completely. But we got the team and we'll be watching and what happens. And we'll definitely be putting yeah, I'm going to still be at work at least until the 17th because that's when our last investment webinar is. So that's Tuesday week. But I'm really hoping that you are making your plans as well for a festive season with your people. Just before we go, on the investment side, interesting story coming out from Avenge. Do you remember those of you who have been following the portfolio for a long time? There was a period of time that I was quite keen on Avenge, and that was, in fact, was in one of the portfolios. And that was after Bernard Swanepoel, my dear friend, and one of the best business people I know, joined their board. Well, Bernard hasn't helped them. They're almost a negative 10 bagger, almost a negative 10 bagger in the last 4 years. Today, they came out with another surprising statement. They're down, the share price is down 63% this year. There's really two businesses in there. One called McConnell Dowell, which is a Australian business, and one called Moolmans, which is an African mining business. And the idea was that they were going to sell those businesses off. Well, today they say they're going to hold on to McConnell Dowell, and they will, though, be selling off Moolmans. But now they've appointed a new CEO at Moolmans to do what? To usher in the sale, maybe? To be there for the new owners? It's really quite confusing. But the share price was up 2.5%, so it means somebody liked it. The other little bit of strategic change comes from the United States, and there the reaction was even more exaggerated. This is Meta, Mark Zuckerberg's company, which was called Meta 4 years ago because it bet everything on the metaverse, virtual reality. Well, that hasn't worked out, and now Meta is cutting its investment on the metaverse division or side of the business by 30%. And the market loved it. They pushed the share price up by 5% at one point and it ended 3.5% higher. So we've got Meta in our portfolio. I do think that to me, Meta's great advantage is the underlying assets that it has there. Facebook is good, but my goodness, how strong is WhatsApp and how strong is Instagram? Okay, all right, point taken. I mean, where are you going to get billions and billions of people to be part of your ecosystem as they are on WhatsApp? And it's only a matter of time before they find ways of just getting a few cents from each of those people, which will make a huge difference. And of course, Zuckerberg has a fertile mind, often being told. In fact, it was interesting to me to see that one of our best listened to podcasts of the past month, I think it was number 3 on the list, was the interview that I had with Charles Savage from Purple Capital / Easy Equities. And in that, we spoke a lot about the entrepreneur's dilemma of being accused of always changing their minds. And Charles explained that, well, he likes that criticism, because it shows that at least he's trying. You know, he's trying new things. And he says of the three good businesses that they've got now, they had 10 that they tried in all. Just to close off with, I've had quite a lot more feedback on the whole John Steenhuisen, R.W. Johnson, Dion George kind of engagements. And I must admit, as a financial journalist, this is a bemusing area for me, because it seems as though in the political area, somebody writes something or decides something is so, and then the whole pack follows it. And he takes Tianhe as an example. And my interview with him was really interesting. And I guess no one's really asked him these questions. Well, certainly he hasn't been telling anybody about him. Because I said to him, you know, there is this perception that you're a guy who basically scraped through matric, couldn't do anything else, became a politician and has been a politician, a professional politician your whole life. I, not exactly in words like that, but that's to paraphrase it. And he explained to me that, no, he did go to university and he did pass his first year. And in fact, he was into his second year and he said he got a number of firsts. Now, I'll have you know, my year at Maritzburg, where I did a first year BCom before moving into journalism, I got a quick pass into journalism with a citizen. But my year in Maritzburg, I passed everything, but I didn't get a first. And he had a couple of firsts, so good for – clearly the guy's got brains. And then and he says, interestingly enough, he's actually enrolled with UNISA to finish his degree at last and then maybe put that nonsense to rest. But the other thing he said was that for 10 years, he worked in the private sector because when he was a city councillor in Durban, it was a part-time job initially anyway. And as a result of that – you couldn't feed a family on a part-time job. And so he was a city councillor and a full-time employee. And he spoke about two companies that he'd worked for. So suddenly you think, hang on, but why has this narrative been allowed to be perpetuated? And the other narrative that was quite interesting was I've had a lot of feedback about Dion George. And just to put it mildly, not very positive. Now, Steenhuisen was accused of firing Dion George as the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Fisheries and so on because Dion George blocked his profligate spending on a credit card. Okay, if that's the case, then I can understand why people want Steenhuisen out. But the reality is Steenhuisen... He didn't say that the guy had underperformed, but that has been the feedback that I've been getting from people within the DA who've had a lot to do with him. And I guess if you're in the DA and you only got a few portfolios, you better make them hum. You better make them perform really, really well. When it comes to Steenhuisen having a vendetta against George because he wouldn't approve his use of the DA credit card when he was in financial issues and whatever, which is the narrative. Steenhuisen says, that's great that people make those accusations because there is a committee within the DA that's looking into it in great detail, and he knows he hasn't spent anything on the DA credit card that wasn't for DA business. Nothing, no personal issues. So he says he's absolutely certain that they're going to come out and say, no, those allegations are wrong. But he says there are certain people in the media who've been making those statements without making them as fact and with not allegedly did this, but actually stating them as fact. And he says, well, he thinks that he's already spoken to his legal counsel and he'll be taking action. Whether or not he does when that happens is kind of besides the point. But it comes back to this idea in politics anyway, where you can say what you like and it seems as though and you can write what you like and broadcast or commit what you like. Whereas in financial journalism, you can't. If you say something in financial journalism that isn't accurate, if you make something up, boy, do you get hammered. Because you're talking about people's money, you're talking about people's investments, and so you get that discipline that comes in. You double-check the numbers, you double-check the facts. And when you make a comment, you make sure that people know, listen, this is my opinion, this isn't actually the truth. Or, you know, don't take it as fact because it's my opinion. But it seems in the political world, well, things are different there. Anyway, just my thoughts, and I hope that that kind of resonates a little bit with you. Because it's an interesting world that we're in and one where, well, there's his version of the truth, her version of the truth, and then the real truth. I'm going to leave it there for today and for the week indeed. Keep your eye on the premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. Thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Cheerio. Until Monday.